WSAU Feedback on AM 550, FM 99.9, WSAU.
Good morning and welcome to WSAU Feedback. I'm Meg Ellison. Thank you for joining me this morning. Although it's sunny out, it's very deceptive because, it's cold out today. You know, can't we just have both things? Can't we just have warm weather and sun? I just wish that that were the case. Well, standing hold on the line with me this morning is Republican candidate for Wisconsin governor, Kevin Nicholson. I welcome you to the program. Thanks for joining me this morning, Kevin.
Good morning, Meg. And no, we can't have warm because it's still March. So yeah, we got to wait another 3 months, I guess.
Yeah, so. Well, and I mean, we can never count on an early spring that's going to hang around, because I honestly think if we do, and especially if you put away your shovels and your snowblowers, for sure we will get another big snowstorm. It's always how it works.
Yeah, my shovel remains at the ready, so I'm not responsible for that.
Yeah, well,
what it's worth.
Right. Okay. Well, good. Well, thank you. I appreciate it. Well, I won't blame you for it. So, before we get started, I just wanted to say thank you for joining me. I am always so impressed with your staffers. I have to say that the young woman that does your scheduling is the most polite person. I want to say her name is Courtney, and
she's
always been a delight to work with. And then I know you also, I've had a number of opportunities to interact with, I believe, Daryl and also Chris Lawrence, and those two guys are just stand-up individuals. So that says a lot about
you
too. So I wanted to make sure.
I say my wife and I talk all the time that we are blessed by the team that we have. We are very grateful for them. They're incredible. For what it's worth, Courtney's father was a Marine veteran and a cop. And Daryl, as you mentioned, Marine Corps veteran, and the rest of our staff, just wonderful people. And we're blessed to have them.
Yeah, so. Sometimes it's a commodity to find a good, you know, a good staffer or someone that works with you, and indeed you are blessed. So, well, let's start. You know, last time we chatted, there was one less person in the race for Wisconsin governor, and now that you have another new opponent, and you know, I guess. We'll just start by saying, what kind of contrast do you see between? I know that there are a number of, you know, that obviously we have a number of different people are taking sides with regard to the Republican primary. I know there are a lot of fans of your opponents, and I know that Tim Rantham has now declared his candidacy. How do you see? I mean, I know that I said to you when you were last on the air, you announced with your gloves off, which is, you know, always kind of fun and exciting for those of us watching. But how do you see your, and you know, honestly, and I mean that as a compliment, because I would say I admire people who take their gloves off and just, you know, deal it up like it is, and you know, say it straight up. And so I guess how do you differ from your newest primary opponent?
Well, first, I mean, I've said this really consistently. Anyone who feels like they have something to offer through running for governor should do it. Like, I'm not a hypocrite here, right? Like, you and I have talked about this before. Robin Bostic came out and told me not to run. I thought that was not helpful. And just frankly inappropriate too, especially given different ways he's dropped the ball. But so I'm not going to tell anyone not to run. If they're going to run, they should share with the state of Wisconsin what their vision is for the future. I'll just talk about myself here. Look, I mean, your listeners know me a bit, which is that I am definitely coming from outside the political class and the political system. And I, to your point, I've tried to be direct and transparent and honest about the problems that I think that we face as a state. And I'm always going to be that way. As your governor, I'm going to be that way. I think I talk directly, transparently. I try to be conversational when I talk with people and not just simply use talking points and just be myself. And I think that's the way we're going to reestablish a relationship between the governor of our state and the people of our state, such that we can actually talk about these real problems that we face, that we've got a doubling of murder rates in our state, or in Milwaukee in particular, but violence spiking across the entire state. I was in Oconto County the other day, and I met with the sheriff, and Todd Scarbin, and his staff, and then I met with a group of people from Oconto County, and we just talked about the problems they're facing. And the problems that we're facing throughout Wisconsin are really terrible. I mean, we're seeing rampant drug abuse. We're seeing people taking drugs laced with fentanyl. Our sheriffs around the state, our police chiefs, are having to deal with people that are dying constantly because of drug abuse. And we're seeing murders that are happening between illegal immigrants that have come to Wisconsin, again, illegally, and are involved in drug trafficking, trading, human trafficking. These things are happening throughout our entire state. If we're not going to have a serious conversation about how we fix this, part of which is rebuilding law enforcement and reestablishing law and order in our state, and that's not just part of it, it's a major part of it, but part of it too is building an economy that gives people hope for the future. These are, you know, how do you do that? Well, it starts with getting kids into better educational systems. Universal school choice is why I advocate for it. We got to get people into higher performing schools earlier in life so they're not being taught critical race theory. Instead, they're being taught skills. They are the workers of Wisconsin's future. They help to build this economy through innovation. So these are complicated things. And what I can promise you and I can promise your listeners, that's always where my head's at. I don't really relish the part of politics, which is people constantly lying about you and saying crazy stuff in order to attract attention. I'm always going to try and lay it out like it is and say, we got to do this stuff materially better and different. Number one, to win the general election, because we as Republicans have lost 11 out of 12 statewide general elections now. But then two, once we get there, to establish credibility with the people of Wisconsin, not just the conservative base, but all the people of Wisconsin who are just reasonable and willing to listen to the fact that we've got to get our society out of this rut, and then we can actually move forward.
You know, I think part of the concerns of a lot of voters and what's on their mind, you know, obviously we heard the results of Gableman's, former Justice Gableman's report and investigation last week, but I think there's a lot of voters that are concerned that, you know, you talked about we've lost the last 11 out of 12 statewide races. Well, you know, how can we be assured that the Republicans will prevail in this upcoming election? I mean, that's a fear on a lot of people's minds, is that we won't have fair and honest elections. What was your reaction to former Justice Gableman's report last week, and what kinds of changes do you hope to see and what you would like to push for if elected governor?
Yeah, I thought there was a couple important things in it. One, it basically lays bare what I've said very consistently now for well over a year, which is that ballot harvesting did take place through the use of ballot drop boxes. Excuse me. And ballot drop boxes were basically completely inappropriate. They were illegal. They should not have happened in the first place. Ballot harvesting is illegal. To paraphrase our state law that's on the books today, it basically says that you can neither take or give a ballot from anyone who's not an elected official. I wrote a piece on this. It's on Wisconsin Right Now. But we literally, the piece that I wrote on Wisconsin Right Now, and I urge your readers to read it when they have a chance, includes a link to a picture taken in a Dane County park during the 2020 election with a woman holding a duffel bag full of ballots that are being collected in broad daylight. That is ballot harvesting, and it is illegal, but yet it took place in 2020. And it's a big part of the reason that people lost so much faith in the electoral process, because you literally saw the breaking of election law in Wisconsin in the midst of the 2020 election in broad daylight, reported by reporters. The tweet I linked to in my op-ed is actually a reporter taking a tweet or taking a picture of it and then tweeting about it, saying, oh, this is an interesting experiment in democracy. And oh, so
great.
So that's craziness. And mm-hmm. And I think here where I'm materially different with Robin Voss and some others too, is I do not believe the WEC is structured in a way that allows it to appropriately govern our elections. And so I know he came on your show and kind of defended the WEC, not kind of, but did
yeah,
defend the WEC.
I was disappointed in that.
Well, and rightfully so. And here's the reason, I think, and getting to this point of having a rational conversation about how we do things better. Look, the WEC deadlocks. The people that are appointed by Voss and others, they just deadlock. And then it's the lawyers beneath them that take over that process, and those lawyers slant left. It is one of the reasons I differ with one of my primary opponents, Rebecca Clayfish, who's advocated for creating a different bureaucracy in the DOJ, because I think the same thing will happen. Even if there is a Republican attorney general in our state, you're still going to have staff lawyers buried in the DOJ, because this is where left-leaning lawyers go. They go into government and they find bureaucracies and they twist them. So I do believe that, to your real question, which is how do we do this better? I believe that we need to banish the WEC. It was a mistake. It never should have been built in the first place. Transfer the powers to the Secretary of State. Now, the next thing that I'm going to say is very important. I already believe that our laws say that ballot harvesting is illegal, but I do agree that we can make them even more clear. So I want to work with the legislature to say, how do we crystallize this and make it so clear that no matter if you got a Republican or a Democrat Secretary of State, that person's elected by the people of Wisconsin and responsible to them, and we are going to pass laws that will leave no wiggle room when it comes to actually enforcing the laws in the book. Shine a whole bunch of sunlight on this process, and through transparency and having a governor who's actually paying attention to making sure that the laws are being applied, we can actually move past this point in our history into elections that make more sense. The worst thing we can do right now, and this is part of the reason, and you and I have talked about this, but I pushed back on the process of the Republican Party of Wisconsin endorsing before the primary. Mm-hmm. It's because the worst thing we can do right now is add any hint of insiderism, manipulation, backroom dealing to our electoral processes. The people of Wisconsin don't want that. The conservative base in Wisconsin certainly doesn't want that. What they want is transparency, clarity, honesty, straightforwardness, and let them have a voice that they know is going to be heard on election day. And we can get there, but it involves in part kind of shaking loose that political class and saying to them, hey, this is a serious issue. People are really worried that their vote's not going to count going forward. And once that starts to happen in a society, you can look to banana republics to see, like, what are the next steps? It becomes a continual process of illegitimacy in government. And that doesn't lead anywhere good. It leads to a broken society. So we do have to get this fixed. I think it could be done. But I firmly believe that it has to be people stepping out from outside that political class, that Madison-based machine, and doing things differently going forward.
Yeah, there were a number of resolutions. I don't know if you hung around. I couldn't bring myself to going to the Republican Party meeting. I believe it was just on Monday here in Marathon County because I needed my beauty sleep, Kevin. But I know that they were, and that's a lost cause, but I know that they were.
No, it's not.
Well, thanks. But, you know, I know there were a number of resolutions. I got kind of a recap on it. And I mean, do you think that they are, that the Republican Party will hear the voices of Republicans county in the county parties and decide not to endorse? I mean, do you think it's going to happen?
You know, I know roughly, and this is not exact, it's roughly a third of the counties in our state have either passed resolutions, the Republican Party county units have either passed resolutions or signaled support for the fact they don't think there should be an endorsement at the convention, which will occur in May before the August primary. So that's happening already. So no matter what the next step is, if the party chooses to make an endorsement, they're splitting the party effectively by doing that.
Yeah.
So that's my warning to the insiders, again, that Madison machine that's still pushing for this, is that listen to what your party is actually saying. They're writing it down and they're telling you, don't do this. And so already it's, I know that they kind of invert the argument, and they being the Madison machine, when they come out and say, oh, if this will create the unity, if we stamp our approval on a given candidate, then that will create unity. Nothing could be further from the truth. They're taking an unnecessary step to create a fraction that simply doesn't have to happen. So my urge to them, and I sent this to the entire grassroots around our state, I sent to the party officials too, saying, look, I'm not asking for your endorsement before the primary, and I'm urging you not to endorse before the primary as well too, because I don't think this is helpful to our party. And again, I firmly believe that any hint of manipulation or insiderism at this moment is just the last thing in the world that we could use or listen to or use. So to your question, do I think they'll listen? I hope so. They're hearing it loud and clear from the grassroots.
Mm-hmm.
I know they like to say, you know, don't criticize the grassroots. Well, nothing would make the grassroots more angry right now than going ahead and kind of, you know, disavowing what they've literally been passing resolutions telling them not to do.
Well, and you know, I guess you could actually even draw the analogy that look who, I mean, there are many that and I mean, myself included, that have a hard time believing and accepting that Joe Biden actually won the presidential election, which I still think I won't even say the P word. He's the installed guy in the White House right now. And it upsets me. And it's almost as if, well, he was installed. And you know, it really appears to be very unfair to essentially install a chosen candidate for any of the races in Wisconsin. And, you know, I mean, I've come a long way, I think, on this, because, you know, initially, you know, that when I started on the radio, I mean, I have my opinions about, you know, why does there have to be so much fighting? You know, why does there have to be so much strife within the Republican Party? Because it always, I don't know, I say I'm the den mother, but I just, it bothers me. And I think this would exacerbate the infighting if the party decides to. And, you know, it appears to me, just based on what you've said, you know, a third of the county parties are saying, please don't do this. And, you know, right. It seems to me that this is something that has happened in the past, and it's almost like old school politics. And, you know, I think we should sort of transcend beyond that. And you know, I guess as you and perhaps maybe I've been trying to figure out, I know when you announced you talked about the machine, and perhaps this is what you mean by the machine, is that this is part of the old school and part of what, I don't know, do I dare say the good old boy network that made decisions on behalf of the Republican Party, or I should say on behalf of the voters, the Republican voters, as opposed to allowing them to have a true, fair, and honest primary. How about that, Kevin?
Right. That's it. And that's where my head's at. That's where my heart's at. That's where I know my family and my team, that's how we look at this. In fact, we just had a team meeting yesterday. I said, you know, this race is wide open. And it is. It's the recent polling from Marquette, it's flawed for various reasons. It's looking at registered, not likely voters and all that kind of stuff. But it does make the case of what we're seeing, which is that this thing's wide open, which is great. And I am so comfortable going to the people of the state of Wisconsin, laying out my ideas, trying to be as honest as I possibly can as I do so, and letting them make a decision, first on August 9, then on November 8, as to what they want their future to be. And look, at this point, if it's not God's plan that I win one or both those elections, that's life. Like, we'll move forward. My family and I, you know, we lost an election in 2018. None of us cratered and fell apart. We continued to fight for the future of our country. We founded No Better Friend. We did great things around the state with our team. So that's okay. But I agree with you, like, other people trying to insert themselves and manipulate this election. And not only that, but people who, as part of that insider Madison-based machine, not the grassroots, that's not who I'm talking about here. I'm talking about a cabal of,
we established that, I think, our last conversation.
Yeah,
yes, got
right,
that.
Right. And so, look, if they want to insert themselves, the problem is they've lost a lot of elections, 11 out of the last 12 generals. But more to the point, they are not listening to people in the way that they should. And, yes, you and I are talking right now about elections and just missing the mark on that. There are so many opportunities to have addressed this before the 2020 election. But then, too, to not immediately realize there was a problem here, to take it seriously, to then dig into it. And even if Tony Evers was going to be the blocking mechanism on getting the solution across, continue to present that solution to him in front of the people of Wisconsin in a reasonable way and say, ballot harvesting is illegal. We do not want to live in a state. We're going forward every election cycle. We're going to be subjected to pictures of people dragging ballots through public parks and then be told that we're not allowed to investigate to figure out what happened. We don't want to live in that world. I don't want to live in that world. I don't want to be talking about election misconduct the rest of my life. So I believe that people like Robin Voss and those around him in that internal machine should have immediately taken action to at least present reasonable solutions and to show they cared about this stuff. Had they done that, you wouldn't see the anger that's bubbling up in the same way. You would see a continual charge to say, let's win in November and move forward. My goal as a gubernatorial candidate and your governor is to channel all the energy we have in the state towards those solutions. Yes, lead to victory in November, but then let's actually address this stuff and get our society moving forward again.
Well, and you know what? Part of being a conservative is that we are fiercely independent and we don't like to be told what to do. And I think that's part of, you know, your message about not endorsing. And, you know, I would support that. I think, you know, I think we have three candidates and we should let the people decide, and may the best person win out of the three that are running and that have had the courage and the craziness to actually run for office in the first place. I admire
it's
that.
A bit of both.
Yeah, I admire that in all three of you, that you would be willing to subject yourself to that, because it can't be easy. So
it's not, but it's worth it. Our state, our country is worth it. My wife and I had these conversations many times. You know, we've got a great life, love my family dearly. Like, yes, you're right. There's a lot about running for office, which is just simply not fun. It can be tiring when people continually are hitting you on different things, calling you names, whatever the heck else happens. And at the end of the day, I do treat this like I treated my deployments in the Marine Corps, which is that there's a purpose to this. I owe this to my kids. I owe it to your kids. I owe it to our future generations to put out the best ideas that I possibly can. We really do need to address the fact that we're seeing murder rates doubling in our state. We get serious about that, or we're going to live in a continually declining society. And so that's why I think this is so important. I don't view this as my career objective. I don't know what I'm going to be doing 10 years from now, but it's very unlikely that I'll still be your governor then, because we'll move on to the next step of life, right? I'm not going to do politics for my entire life. But I do believe that stepping up now and providing the right ideas and then putting it in the hands of the people of Wisconsin is the right thing to do. And then we'll move forward from there.
Well, Kevin Nicholson, and if you want more information, he's a candidate for governor here in Wisconsin, NicholsonForWisconsin.com. Kevin, thanks for joining me this morning. All the best to you.
Thank you, Meg. I appreciate it. And I look forward to speaking again soon.
All right. Have a great day. I'll talk to you again soon. I'm going to jump to a break, a much needed break, and go right into the 8:30 news on WSAU.